Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here with you this morning. Yesterday, I got up very early after work, and let's see, what did I do? I went out for milk, took a wrong turn, ended up in Connecticut. That's where I am this morning. I am broadcasting live this morning from Walnut Hills Community Church in Bethel, Connecticut, and we are just absolutely thrilled that we could be here today with this church community, and we've got a whole lineup of exceptional guests that I have vetted very carefully. What's your name again? Something.
My name is Brian.
Brian. So carefully vetted guests. So we're looking forward to having some lively conversations with some of the ministries going on here at this church and how they are impacting the Connecticut area and all of New England and / the world. So how cool is that? All right. This story caught my attention before we go to break here. There was an incident that was fit for a Willy Wonka dream in Poland. There was a Polish highway was shut down yesterday when a tanker overturned and spilled 12 tons of liquid chocolate onto the roadway. The chocolate solidified and created what they thought was probably the world's biggest candy bar. Firefighters had to show up to get this off. They had hot water to melt the chocolate and then wash it away. But the crew did show up when they arrived with 25 dozen boxes of graham crackers. So they obviously did first things first, which was smart. All right, if you're listening in the Hartford area, a special welcome to all of you this morning at 94.1 FM in Hartford and 1290 AM. I am in your hood, all right? So we'll take a little break, and when I come back, Brian Mowry is my first guest. He's the teaching pastor here at Walnut Hills Community Church, and he's got this church family is so cool. They do this thing called First 20, and you're going to want to hear about this, and you're going to want to incorporate this into your life because it is really cool. All right, 7 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. It is 8 minutes after the hour, and I am on the road. Never done this before. This is actually quite exciting, quite fun. I'm at Walnut Hills Community Church in Bethel, Connecticut. If you are a member of the area church, welcome. I'm awfully thrilled to be here. I'm sitting across the table from Brian Mowry, one of the teaching pastors, and he's got quite a strong Minnesota connection. Well, Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So tell me about your Minnesota connection.
Yeah, so I grew up in Connecticut, mm-hmm. but I was looking for a Bible college when I was going to college, and I also played hockey.
Nice.
And so there are about three schools in the whole country that have Bible degrees and hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So I made my way out to Minnesota without knowing a single soul,
mm-hmm.
met my wife there, and then stayed for about 10 years before returning
nice.
Back to Connecticut.
And now you have four daughters?
I have four daughters.
That's crazy. Congratulations. Now, as a teaching pastor here, they're interesting. Talk a little bit about the format here at the church. There's three teaching pastors.
We have a teaching team that
teaching
consists
team.
Of
that's,
like
that's
our,
the word I was looking for.
Our campus pastors.
Mm-hmm.
We're four campuses. And then we have other people who teach. And we kind of rotate through the campuses. And we also show video about 50% of the time to our campuses.
Nice. Now, I'm excited to hear about some of the things that are happening in this church community because I'm captivated by this First 20 program.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, if you would.
Sure. Well, the First 20 really birthed out of our desire to see our church go further in their personal relationship with Jesus. And it's kind of like redefining the quiet time a little bit.
Okay.
And we believed if Jesus needed to take times of solitary with his Father, then it's probably a good idea that we do too. And so the First 20 is the first best 20 minutes of your day.
Love it.
Because sometimes the first 20 minutes of my day aren't the best, but the first best 20 minutes of your day spent with Jesus to get us aligned with him, get us ready for the day. We believe that if we take this seriously, not only will our lives be changed who are doing the First 20, but actually every person we come in contact, their lives might be changed as well through it.
And even in your church family, you can say to someone else, How was your first 20?
Yeah.
And they know exactly what you're talking about.
It's real quick, nice language, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. So you make a date, you set aside that first 20 of your day, and then you pick a theme, huh? You design your 20-minute prayer based on your area of growth. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, really what we encourage people to do is spend time in the Word of God, spend time just listening, allowing the Lord to speak to them, and also spend some time just sharing with the Lord the burdens that are on their heart. So people have developed their first 20 in different ways,
yeah,
just depending on who they are.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is that they're spending time with the Lord.
Okay, let's talk about, Brian, how to encounter Jesus in your first 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, the great thing about the Lord is that whenever we spend intentional time with him, he meets with us. Isn't that true?
Amen.
He encounters us. And so the idea here with the first 20 is to really encounter the Lord through his word, encounter him through the power of his spirit speaking to our hearts, and allow him to change us right in the beginning of the day, kind of giving them the first fruits of the day.
Mm-hmm. And it also says that we need to surrender daily.
Yeah.
Which is a confession of sin and ask for provision and protection.
Yeah. We use the word surrender here quite a bit because it's not just accepting Jesus. It's not just believing in him, but it's surrendering our whole life. And
mm-hmm.
so part of that first 20 is really saying to the Lord, we give you our whole life and mm-hmm. everything in it. And one of the fun things, too, is that we've been really teaching our kids to do the same thing. And so depending on their age, we do the first 20 seconds or the first 2 minutes, trying to get them into a habit of meeting with the Lord early in the morning.
Uh-huh. And then when it comes down to get to know God personally, we're going to surrender daily, and then we're going to start praying passionately. And we're going to be very specific and intentional in the first 20. And I love this idea, and I want to start doing this myself.
Yeah.
But for people to get to know Jesus and for families to be restored, for communities to be transformed,
yeah,
and for your lives to be lived for his glory.
Yeah.
That's powerful. So talk a little bit more about how you have seen this change the lives of people.
Sure. Yeah, well, interesting. There's a wonderful story. When we first launched this about a year ago, there was a woman who came to us shortly afterwards. And she said, I started doing my first 20, and I was opening the Word of God. I was reading it, and I was just allowing the Lord to speak to me. And she discovered that she never really had a relationship with the Lord before this.
Wow.
And so in her first 20, she said, I want to surrender my life to you, Jesus. So she really, truly encountered Jesus in that first 20.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been an amazing thing. We've seen people, enter the first 20, give it a shot out of obedience, and actually discover a relationship with Jesus. And then we've had other people who have just said, you know what, I felt real stagnant in my relationship, just going through the motions. And this has really woken me up to the things of the Lord. It's given me something to be intentional about. It's brought the reality to me that actually there is a God that wants to really meet with me,
mm-hmm.
That this isn't just about doing things off a checklist, but about having a personal relationship. And so there's just been a lot of great stories of how the Lord has moved each and every one of us, no matter where we are in our maturity with the Lord, whether we knew him before starting the first 20
mm-hmm.
or whether we've been walking with him for 40 years.
So instead of, hi, how you doing? You can go, hey, how was your first 20?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a cool way to start engaging with people on a more serious, intimate level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you can quickly find out what someone was praying about, what's on someone's yeah. heart, and what you might be able to share in terms of just yeah. prayer and all of that.
Yeah, we often hear people ask, hey, what has the Lord said to you this morning in your first 20?
Oh, see, I love this. I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is something that everyone kind of embraces, if I'm sitting in Fargo today listening to this,
sure.
how could I get more information about this idea? Because this is something that church families would go, I wouldn't mind. This would be a good thing to do.
Sure. So when we first started this, we did a 2020 challenge, and that's the first 20 and do it for 20 days.
Okay.
And we released a video every single morning. And those videos you can actually find through our website
really?
at walnuthillcc.org, and then just click the first 20 banner, and there's 20 videos that go through some of the attributes of God. And some of us are on those videos just sharing about who God is, just to kick you off in your first 20, get you started. And we really believe that, it takes about 3 weeks to start a habit.
Mm-hmm.
20 days is close to 3 weeks, really close.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how we kicked it off, and would be a great resource for people. We're trying to populate that more and more with different devotions and
nice.
Things like that.
Because we're easily distracted, especially in the morning.
Sure.
I mean, everything fights for our attention. And if our priorities aren't to Jesus first thing when we get up, our day may not go well. So the idea that you've got lodged in your brain the words first 20 is really a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You, for our listening audience, we are about 10 minutes away from Newtown Sandy Hook, where the shooting took place. How many years ago was that?
That was just over 5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they were just in the center of that that tragedy. And so we're going to take a little break, but when I come back, I want to ask Brian about just what it is like when you are doing ministry in the midst of such tragedy and suffering. This is the Early Morning Late Show. I'm broadcasting live today from Connecticut. I'm at Walnut Hills Community Church. The line to get in the building right now is about, oh, I don't know, half a mile deep. So we're trying to, we need more security. Thank you. All right. We're going to just try to regulate the traffic coming in. But we will take a little break and we'll come back more with Brian in just a minute. It's 18 minutes after the hour. We're having so much fun today at Walnut Hills Community Church. I am here with the church family. We're talking to Brian Mowry, who is the lead pastor of teaching. And we were talking just about the First 20, which is a really cool program that they do here. And I would recommend you to set aside your first 20 minutes of the day just to be with the Lord and to hear what's what he wants you to do this day. He calls us in and only just to turn around and send us out. So we have to be listening to what God wants us to do. And as I'm sitting here in Connecticut, I am realizing how close I am to Newtown Sandy Hook, where the tragedy took place 5 years ago. So to be 10 minutes away from that tragedy, all the churches were all hands on deck to care for the community. And Brian, I know you were part of that whole tragedy and the following up to helping people cope. What was that like?
It was hard to imagine. It was hard to believe that it was real.
Oh yeah.
It was painful. It was probably the most difficult thing that we've ever had to do as ministers. But it was also a great privilege, actually, to be here and to stand with people and to walk with them and to cry with them and even laugh and sometimes mm-hmm. and bring some joy and to be a place that could bring some hope and healing. Mm-hmm. So it was all of those things wrapped in one.
Yeah. Brian, what were some of the questions you heard over and over? How could God let this happen? I mean, what were some of the ones that kept surfacing the most?
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting. After tragedy, what we learned is that these questions come in phases. Mm-hmm. They don't come right away, actually. People are just so shocked and hurt that you don't have to answer the questions right away. Great and that's point. Actually something if there are any ministers out there and something like this happens, you don't have to worry too much just yet. Just be present, be loving, do everything you can to walk with people. But then later, as the years kind of progress, those questions do come. You know, why did this happen? Why is there pain and suffering? Some of those. But then, okay, even if I understand pain and suffering, why did God allow this particularly? Mm. And that's the most difficult question, actually.
Yeah. Do you find that people's spiritual sensitivity starts to rise when there's a tragedy because they're confronted with just this suffering and all of this ugliness and pain? And do they do more personal reflection?
Sure.
Or are they angry at God? Or are they drawn to God? What do you find to be the reality?
I think what happens is, and what we saw, are people, they are searching. Mm. They immediately go into searching. What's happening here? How do I respond to it? How do I receive healing? And people turn to all kinds of different things when that happens. You see that even in the Bible. People turn to all the different kind of things when there's tragedy and when there's challenge. And so for us as church, we just tried to make sure the whole community knew that our doors were wide open for them mm-hmm. to come.
Yeah. A lot of times it's just a suit up and show up sort of thing, isn't it? We just have to be present for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And earn the right to be able to be there when the tough questions do come.
Mm-hmm. Now, before I let you go, I want to ask a little bit about who mentored you and how you got to be where you are. I know, I think for people in the Midwest, when they think of either the east side of the country or the west side of the country, they think, well, the people in the Midwest, we do all the evangelism.
Sure.
You know, we're the ones all busy for the Lord, because I think we think of the coast of being maybe, you know, just a little more godless.
Sure.
But talk about who mentored you. I know there was a fairly well-known person that was here in this church that mentored you.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'd actually like to start in Minnesota if I could.
Please do.
There are a few people out there at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. Paul Dean was a great mentor of mine. I served at Berean Baptist Church in Burnsville. Roger Thompson was a great mentor of mine. And it was while I was at Berean that I received a phone call from an Englishman from living in Connecticut at the time. I grew up in Connecticut.
Okay.
He was actually serving at my home church. And his name is Dr. Clive Calver. And Clive, he's been the leader of many different Christian organizations, including the Evangelical Alliance in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
He was the president of World Relief here in the States.
Wow.
In his earlier days, he ran the a mission with Billy Graham in the UK. And so he has just amazing leadership capacity and ability. And one of his things that he loves doing is mentoring younger leaders. And so he called me and asked me to come out to this church, Walnut Hill, to be kind of an associate pastor with him. And I had the chance to walk alongside him and learn for about 10 years. And he gave me great responsibility, but just really walked with me. And so it was a huge privilege. And now I'm trying to pass down some of those lessons that I've learned to other younger pastors along the way, too.
So can you do an impression of Dr. Clive Calver?
I cannot. I'm really not good at doing any English accents.
Dr. Clive Calver, is that close?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Everyone's shaking their heads. Yeah. No, you have no clue.
I'm just worried he's listening. And so I guess
there's a
part of me that still believes I'm under his mentorship, so I'm not going to go there.
But how amazing it is, this staff here is, it seems a little to trend on the younger side.
Yeah.
And God's doing amazing work. And there's been a burst of evangelism here in this community.
Yeah.
Especially under sort of the mentorship of Clive and now what the three teaching pastors are doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have, we're in New England, which is difficult ground. There's not a lot of evangelical Christians. Probably about 3% would say they're evangelical Christian.
That's a very low number.
It's a very low. Yeah. You probably won't find one lower in all of the country.
Wow.
Maybe some parts in California. But and so we really feel called here to bring Jesus and to see people change. There have been great revivals and awakenings here in the past, and we believe God can do it again.
Yeah, well, we're thrilled that Faith Radio ends up landing in Hartford and, you know, being able to broadcast throughout Connecticut. So that's you can hear us at myfaithradio.com if you want to go stream. And then in Hartford, we're at 94.1 and AM 1290. So that's where you can, on your radio dial, find us. All right, Brian Mowry, thank you so much for coming on and talking about all this. This is important stuff. First 20 is very interesting, and how God brought you here to Connecticut, back home, to do ministry at this amazing church is a great story.
Great. Thanks, Bill.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Kyler. I believe he's going to talk about youth ministry, which I think if ministry is hard to do in a town that is not very evangelical, what is it like to reach the kids? That's going to be the topic of our next conversation with Kyler Barr. We will take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.
This is your daily dose of devotion. We buy them both and pass the savings on to you. It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.
Good morning. It's just 29 minutes after the hour. We'll take a little break for news. And then when we come back, Kyler Barr is going to be with me. He's just got out of the green room where he was in getting his makeup on, and I told him it's radio, Kyler. It's not television. Big difference. So it's a little awkward for all of us. Trust me, We'll take a short break and be back with more Bill Arnold broadcasting live from the beautiful state of Connecticut. Be back in a minute.
Like everything else God created, He created the family to be perfect. So what happened? This is Jim Garlow in a special series for the family. Sin happened. We went from being selfless to selfish. And by the way, sin is always spelled S-E-L-F. Self. Always. God said to Adam and Eve, "You can have everything, but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Translation, "I'm God, you're not. Don't you determine what's good and evil. That's my job as God." But when humanity lifts itself up as God, there are consequences for the entire creation. It messes up everything, including the family. But despite all that, the family is by far the most ingenious discovery for the transfer of biblical values. It's a great relay, a baton-handling relay from one generation to another. But we have to be intentional, deliberate, and generational. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
We are back. It is 25 minutes till the top of the hour. I am in the lovely state of Connecticut this morning, broadcasting live from Walnut Hills Community Church, getting to know some of the fine folks in Connecticut. And I have across the table from me now, Kyler Barr. He is in charge of youth ministry. Kyler, pull up a chair and make yourself uncomfortable.
All right. Hello. Thanks for coming to Connecticut.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of an interesting accent you have. Where's that from?
So I'm from the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. I grew up about an hour and a half out of D.C.
Nice.
And I came here 3 years ago. I moved to Connecticut.
Okay. Now, when we talk about this area and like the coast being less evangelical, so if the parents are less evangelical, what about the kids then? What about the youth in these families?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that we certainly notice up here. Number one, the faith and experience of going to church and really having that be part of their culture is something that in much of the country is something that our parents did. Mm-hmm. For many of the people that you're talking to. Here it's something our grandparents did.
Okay.
And so as we walk through that, even when we were looking, my wife and I, at where we were going to be called for the next phase of our ministry and what God used in that, one of the things that we really loved about New England and about Connecticut specifically was that there was this challenge that faith was not the expectation. It wasn't the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I find with challenges is that there are also opportunities that are within them. And so one of the huge opportunities that we see here with students is that if you're going to have a faith conversation with a student, it's going to be a real conversation. There's not an assumed, well, of course I go to church. There's not an assumed culture of faith necessarily for the students. And so when you're having conversations with them, you actually can get faster to real things. Now, it may take longer to start those conversations, but once you get in the conversations, you really are able to talk about some real topics and to really dive in, and you know that you're having a conversation that matters. And so that's been great.
Yeah. So how good are the kids in the church at bringing other friends to events and opportunities to hear the gospel?
Yeah, no, I think our kids are great about that. We have to be creative about the type of events and how we do those invites. One of the things that I think exists everywhere now, but certainly exists here as well, is that this is not an if you build it, they will come type of culture, right?
Yeah.
And so we can't just throw an event up there, have good things, and expect people to show up.
Uh-huh.
We have to do the work of relationship building. We have to do the work of helping our students know how to connect with their friends and why they should invite their friends and why even before they invite their friends, how they can have just faith conversations that matter.
Yeah, and then the fact that these kids might go home and be the only person in their household that wants to be engaged in a faith conversation. So there's a lot of pressure all around.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think pressure is a key thing that, that our students are facing, too. One of the things that we find over and over again in youth ministry, certainly here, is even more so than when I was in West Virginia, is that our students don't have a lot of processing time. Mm-hmm. All of their time is filled. They feel pulled in a lot of different directions. They go from event to event and idea to idea, but don't often have time to sit down and really think about it and wrestle together with what that means for their lives and how they want to actually implement that in their daily life.
So, Kyler, you have to have patience, don't you?
You do, yeah. It's been a longer process for getting a specific event off the ground or forgetting, you know, if you come in and you say, oh, well, I have this great event that's going to happen with students anywhere, they're going to want you to prove it. They're going to want you to prove that there's a reason
just like a student
for them to be here.
Yeah.
Which I think is beautiful because it helps us to actually provide great events.
Yeah.
helps us to actually provide a great framework for conversations.
Yeah. Kyler, would you talk about My Crew? This is a fascinating program you have here at the church, and discuss that with me if you would.
Well, one of the things I love about My Crew is that it's a tool we use to actually provide some of that space for processing together,
okay.
Some of that space for thinking about your faith and being intentional in that and for doing it together. And so it's given us some language for talking about what it means to get together and be accountable together, for talking about what it means to get together and build relationships. And so My Crew, when we talk about building a crew together, is really just 3 to 5 people of the same gender who get together and help each other to grow closer to Jesus and closer to each other. And so as they walk through that, they're asking each other questions like, how was your first 20?
Nice.
You're asking yourself questions like, what have you been learning lately? And so there's a great space in that for us to just put some intentional language, which I think is really helpful for our students. It gives them an opportunity to ask some people to be in an intentional relationship with them that may have been a more awkward conversation without that framework. And so one of the ways I saw that work with some of our students, we had a group as we were launching the crew. We had a young man who at one of our guys' events was just, we were talking after an activity with some of the other guys, and he was talking about his first 20. And he said, hey guys, this really actually works, this first 20 stuff. Like I started this first 20 because I said, well, I should read my Bible more. And I started in First Kings and got it. And God has used that as I've read to actually help me really grow in my relationship with him. And so fast forward a little bit as we launch Crew, the guys in that circle, many of them are in his crew now. And so as I went to their house one time, I basically got kicked out of their backyard. They were around the fire and they said, no, Kyler, this is our crew time. We're actually meeting as a crew here intentionally around this fire.
That or you're eating too many of the s'mores and they just asked you to leave.
Whichever,
Kyler.
I do take care of my fair share of the snacks.
Okay, all right. Now, so if Jesus had been a sailor, his disciples would have been his crew.
There you go.
So I love this idea. And so you're always asking, you know, who's in your crew? And I think of the social isolation that comes nowadays through social media, and these kids feel lonelier than ever. So the fact that they're part of an accountability crew is powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, I do. I think it's very powerful. I think not only are we bringing relationships in, but even when people have relationships, it's hard for students to be intentional in relationships. It's hard to bring up those questions that you want to ask, that you want to wrestle with people through, and go beyond how was your day and what homework do you have and isn't it great outside today? This is a spot where people are able to immediately jump in to questions that matter because that's why they're there.
So the big question can be for, you know, anyone is where do you have permission to speak into each other's lives? And what platform have you created where you can speak truth into other people's lives and have them speak truth into your life?
Absolutely. And I think this is a great platform for that because it gives people really just the opportunity to say, hey, this is why we're here. This is what I'm looking for in this relationship. So when we're together, let's talk.
Yeah.
Let's actually talk.
Yeah. I had a pastor years ago that said, I always ask these two questions of somebody. And the first question was, what was the last time God revealed something new and fresh in his word that you were seeing for a first fresh time? And then the second question was, when is the last time you shared your faith one-on-one with someone? Where was it? Who was it? And how long ago was it? And if you can't answer either of those two questions, maybe things are a little off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so Kyler, so some of the questions you might have in this crew is, how's your first 20 going? What is God saying to you through his word? So this is all the kind of stuff that really resonates with me. And what do you sense God wanting to change in you? Oh, boy. Mm. So how does that go over?
Well, I think actually with teens, it goes over really well because the students are at a spot where they are figuring out who they are, where they're open to figuring out what it is that God wants to do within their lives, how he wants to use them, how he's created them. And so they're able to really together wrestle through that and figure that out and even help each other to see maybe things that God has gifted them for that they wouldn't have recognized on their own. And I think for adults, as they walk in this, it's a little harder at first. Mm-hmm. But once they get through the first couple meetings, what I've found and heard and listened to is that it's freeing, right? It's freeing because you're in a space where those questions that sound hard are the norm, where the questions that sound hard are expected. Mm. And then you're able to really just answer them and actually have a conversation with someone that matters.
Yeah. I mean, where do we go to have real adult conversation where you can ask the hard questions, be vulnerable, and allow people to speak truth into your life?
Well, and absolutely. I talked about processing time for teens. Yeah. It's not like our adults have time all over the place.
We don't have this figured out, Kyler,
yes,
just
no,
so you
we,
know.
We need some help figuring out where we can place some specific time. And so I love both in the first 20 and the crew that it's given some new language for us to use here at the church, for us to help each other step into these intentional practices that can help to build our faith.
Yeah, well, you've got me sold. I love this. And as a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer, but three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Kyler, thank you so much for what you're doing and your love for kids and how God's called you to be here, and you're awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being here giving us a chance to talk with you and talk about what God's doing. It's been great.
All right, we'll take a little break. When we come back, I'm going to speak to John Dischinger. He is going to talk about the church in action. That's what we all need, is a little action around here, huh?
Absolutely.
All right, it's 14 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and be back with more live from Connecticut in just a minute.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here with you this morning, broadcasting from Connecticut. I am at Walnut Hills Community Church. WalnutHillCC.org is the place to go check out this fabulous church I am at. I'm with the church family. I'm just trying to learn some of the places and names of all the nice folk in Connecticut. We started broadcasting in Hartford, I don't know, about a year ago or so, I think. I'm the least to know what's going on at the station, but I have with me sitting across John Dischinger. He is the pastor of outreach, and as we think about putting the church and put it into action, John, you're the guy to go to, aren't you?
My wife wouldn't say that.
Of course, of course. Now, tell me a little bit about your background. You didn't go through seminary, did you?
No, I did not. Actually, I grew up in the business world.
Okay.
And had spent the last good close to 28 years of my professional experience in the technology sector.
Okay.
Working specifically for corporations like IBM, Digital Equipment Corporation, mm-hmm. and a number of companies up in the greater Boston area.
Nice. So yeah. God tapped you on the shoulder and said, get out of corporate America and come here.
He did, literally.
Uh-huh.
Over the space of a couple of years, felt that the Lord was really tugging at my heart, and a lot of prayer with my wife Karen, in regards to what's next. And,
yeah,
it was really stepping out in faith off a ledge.
No kidding,
you know, so to speak.
Corporate America's got some perks.
Yeah. Well, it does, but it also it's a real world.
It is,
you know, and so to be. To be called and to have the opportunity and then the privilege to step into this space has been life-changing.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk a little bit about the church in action. What does that mean?
Sure.
And how do we go about understanding what that is?
Yeah, church in action is called, in many churches, global and local missions.
Okay.
Think of it that way. And really what we look to do is you know, through being the hands and feet of Jesus, really look to come alongside the indigenous church in here and around the world to reach out to the most vulnerable and really come alongside the most persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, be Jesus and share Jesus, but in everything we say and do.
Mm-hmm.
Really reflect his face,
yeah,
and his call. When we look at the church, I see, and I'm speaking personally in my own life. We are living in a world of brokenness, and that includes my name on that.
Oh, mine too.
On that list,
yeah.
And when we see the church body and the church community, I see houses of healing. And that's true around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are called to step into those spaces, outside of the doors of whatever structure we're in. Our real work is not in the church. It's out in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a great opportunity to see how God uses a community, like Walnut Hill, like the church, you know, I'm not just speaking about our church,
mm-hmm.
to step into those spaces.
Yeah, so we are certainly called, yeah, as evangelicals, one of the questions I frequently ask is, do we love the lost enough?
Yeah.
You know, because if we do, we're going to do something
about
it. Our love will become in action, right?
Yeah, yeah. And very often we look, you know, across the oceans to do that, but fail to look right within our own streets, right within our own neighborhoods. And it's brokenness and hurt and hopelessness all around us. We've been getting very involved in the whole area of darkness in respect to human trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Say more
and
about
many,
that.
Many communities think about that is a problem over there. You know, that's Southeast Asia. You know, that's Central America. What we are seeing is that is a major reality right here in this place called the state of Connecticut, right here in this city called Danbury.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right here in our communities. And yet we can turn a blind eye to it. And so we've been had the opportunity to get involved in a really incredible effort of bringing together church, bringing together government, and bringing together public health to really begin to look at how can we tackle this issue together when it comes to children,
mm-hmm.
When it comes to teens, when it comes to women, and when it comes to men being sold for labor and being sold for sex.
Boy,
it's reality.
Are you finding cooperation amongst the community? Or you're not going this alone, are you?
No, and that's been the amazing and wonderful thing, Bill, is we see community coming around the table. I've been part of a community of different leaders that has involved and incorporated law enforcement, that's involved DCF, Department of Children and Family Services, Trafficking in Persons Council, the hospitals, even groups like there's an airline that is committed to looking at people being trafficked that are flying on planes. You know, there's signs that they're seeing. So, yes, they are coming around the table. We are coming around the table. And the exciting thing is awareness is increasing because it all starts with awareness. And laws are being changed.
Yeah, John, I'm curious how – this is probably a dumb question, but I ask these all the time. Yeah. How do you become aware if you're not aware?
Yeah. Actually, that's a great question.
Well, I mean, here you are in this little, you know, town of Danbury. Is that where we are?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, it's going on here?
Mm.
Really?
Mm.
How did you find that out?
Mm. Actually, it's interesting how we found that out. There was a convergence of different points of reality with, you know, several arrests on some alleged trafficking of some young men with special needs in our community that hit the paper. At the same time, we are very closely involved with a health clinic that provides free health services. And I was speaking with the director of that health clinic, and he, over coffee one morning, he said, John, I'm suspecting that we're seeing, you know, some children coming in. Reports coming out of DCF and other agencies that that this is happening. So that compounded on top of other reports and data points from around the country. Mm-hmm. You know, this is an issue across the United States. The Super Bowl is one of the highest concentrated points of human trafficking when it comes to a calendar event, a date and time.
That's crazy. I actually went to the Super Bowl this year.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I sat next to some...
Well, you're talking to a big Pats fan.
Okay,
so,
well...
You know, we'll move on from there.
Yeah, we'll take it out into the parking lot if you want to. We'll settle this once and for all. Let me take a break when I come back. More with John in just a minute. You're listening to the Early Morning Late Show. Bill Arnold broadcasting from the great state of Connecticut this morning. Be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.